Mecum Auctions, the world's largest collector car auction company, returns to Indy with Dana Mecum's 37th Original Spring Classic, May 10th through the 18th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. 3,000 muscle cars, Corvettes, exotics, and more. Broadcast on Motor Trend TV and streaming live on Max. From avid collectors to those new to the Mecum experience, we welcome everyone. Register to bid now at Mecum.com.
We're now entering the territory of weird that these Caitlin Clark stories won't die. People are just angry and out of their head and applying a level of madness to this basketball player. Welcome to Indianapolis. I'm sorry there's so much madness. I hope you have a great time. I hope you have a great season and a great career. But unless we get to hang out and smoke a cigar together, like, I'm not spending this much time on it. But I am fascinated a little bit by some reactions. And of course, one of these things being Indianapolis and what happened with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Now, you'll note I'm not angry with her. This isn't an attack on her. I've never met her. I just want her to enjoy herself and enjoy the career. But I don't know her. I'm not going to get that invested. But why in the world is Antonio Brown referring to Caitlin Clark as cracker of the day? What the hell is this? This is okay language? I'm going to get told that somehow this is just fine? Oh, no, it's cool. It's Antonio Brown. I didn't know. I mean, I knew Antonio Brown was broken. I didn't know he was a low-life piece of crap. This is the way you talk to people? I didn't know he was a bigoted scumbag. Good to know. Yes, he walked off the field, did this former NFL player. I don't think he's still playing. Instead of playing one more down, walked off in the middle of a game. Okay. All right. Bye. Bye, Felicia. See ya. Calling people cracker after engaging in some sexual innuendo? Good Lord. I didn't know he was full-on scumbag. This brings us, of course, to this Greg Doyle story of the Indianapolis Star and how he spoke to Caitlin Clark and the response. And you can check, if you missed yesterday's show, go back and listen to the podcast. And you can find it at WIBC.com, me talking about this. It should be noted, two things should be noted. Here's Greg Doyle, a guy who never found anything where he wasn't high and mighty about. And this is certainly true if you follow his feed and his commentaries, as I have now had to go back and check some of this. He basically was the people would call it creepy towards Caitlin Clark in that initial press conference. And he actually, in a second part of the press conference, he was talking to the coach Sides, and he was speaking of Caitlin Clark. And he said, you've now got that. What are you going to do with it? He was speaking about Caitlin Clark and referred to her as that. And it all like piles into this oddness. And he's still taking hits on social media and in regular media and, a whole host of places. And I have no interest in a pile on. I'm sharing a story here. I have only asked the question when he says, you know, he's apologizing to Caitlin Clark and he says, I'm part of the problem. I would like to know what problem he's referring to. I have no idea what he means, but it seems to me that that is a way to not take responsibility for your own actions and say, well, you see, it's a bigger problem that we all deal with. Everybody else there asked a question. No one's talking about him. So clearly it's not everybody else. But it was brought up to me. And I was asked, well, if Tony, if you had done this, what would Greg Doyle, the Indy Star, be saying about you? And really, it could be applied to me or you or anybody else. He would be relentless, relentless in going after you and how terrible you are and how toxic masculinity is evil. And he would be, based on his prior works. I'm not utilizing that as an excuse to be. Because somebody would do something doesn't mean you do it. Because somebody would be a certain way doesn't mean you do it. And the argument is that that's exactly the problem. These people, and it's usually utilized politically, talking about progressives, they do this, they do that, they do the other, and when they're caught, all of a sudden we're supposed to have grace and not do anything. This cannot be the way it is. I get that argument. I absolutely get that argument. I do. I think people would be out of their heads and lying to themselves if they did not recognize how sound that argument is. Allow me to give the best counter that I can. If I'm doing things in a political world, if I'm engaged talking about political people, elected officials, I really do believe there are different rules. I really and truly do. I have been able to talk about this story. A guy who once said, as quoted by my friends who heard it, wanted to punch me in the face, or was at least willing to punch me in the face, because he didn't like the fact that I was at the same concert that he was. I mean, we're not talking about a guy that I have any affinity for at all. He's deep in it, and I would argue there's a chance he loses his job, which I don't think he should, but I think there's a chance he's going to lose his job over this. I would argue he could lose it over a million other things other than this. But I don't know what I'm going to get from a pylon, because now it's petty. If Caitlin Clark was offended by his statement, she can ask for an apology. But everybody else? We can notice it, but then we move on. The pylon doesn't help me. I've asked the question, what is the problem that he speaks about in his article, which you don't have to read, when he says, I'm part of the problem? What problem are you referring to? Because it sounds like you're not willing to take personal responsibility, and I think that's wrong. After that, I've got nothing else to say. Nothing else to say, but it is true. That if I had said this, what he said, or you, Greg Doyle would be relentless. I'm very happy to be different. Can we just take this in for a minute? Oh, night fever. That's good. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. There is the grift, and then there is the grift, and then there is the mayor of Washington, D.C. Holy moly. This is joyous. When I say joyous, I mean people really, they really do think they can get away with anything when they're in an elected position. The mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser, she went to the Masters. We're talking about the golf tournament, Augusta, Georgia. And it was taxpayer funded. The people of D.C. paid for her to go to the Masters. You've never gone to the Masters. You dream of going to the Masters. She got the taxpayers to pay for it. And then when it was realized that she was going, it was determined that it was really, it wasn't a vacation that she was taking on the taxpayer dime. No. It was a sports and economic development trip. She was going down there to learn how to bring golf tournaments to D.C. These people are brazen. Brazen. They'll do anything. They'll say anything. They are completely unworried about what you think about it. You've got no say. You've got no power. This two-tiered nonsense thing, it gets to people. It gets to people, and then there is a reaction. Just saying what is. This brings us to the popcorn moment. Let's go, let's go, let's go. It's a story you need to hear to believe, then grab your popcorn because there is more. The White House, here's the headline. White House will, quote, make sure gas prices remain affordable, unquote, heading into the summer. So this is one of the national economic advisors that was being asked about gas prices, whether the administration would once again tap the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which was a terrible idea then and it's a terrible idea now. Gas futures are up 29%. Gas averages right now across the country $3.67 a gallon. Now, oil prices, in terms of the barrel, West Texas Intermediate is $81.97. Let's call it $82. And Brent crude is at $86. So these are down a little bit. Of course, you have the Israeli attack on Iran in response for the Iranian attack on Israel. Iran attacked indiscriminately, trying to kill civilians. Israel, as we know, the first bit of reporting, went after specific military sites. They're different nations with different points of views and different values. So suck on that, protesters. Oh, I'm sorry. Pro-Hamas zealot freaks. That was much better. That was more to the point, I believe. So Iran's downplaying the whole thing, and oil prices are resting easy right now because of it. Oil per barrel going down is a good thing. But in the 80s, is still pretty dang high. Then we haven't built a new refinery in America in forever. You have this issue. But the White House is willing to manipulate the market to keep gas prices artificially low or lower. You mean before an election? This is what they're admitting. This is the conversation about, look at how they act right in front of us so brazenly. And they expect us not to notice, and many people don't. Many people don't. And then there are the people who don't want to notice. Dear Lord, what in the world has Joe Biden said now? Every day, it's something new, and today is no different.
Harris Biden administration.
You have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
Got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the go. You know the thing.
Say what?
He's there with the Kennedy family. That's right, the Kennedy family, they don't care about Robert Kennedy. No, they're going to back Biden because they're going to keep becoming ambassadors to things. Remember when the Kennedys mattered? Oh, yeah. Oh, Camelot. Good times. Good times. From bootlegging to the White House. It's the American dream, I tell you. And then it was from bootlegging to the White House to the bottom of a lake. How the mighty have fallen. But they really are worried about Robert Kennedy running for president. And so he's trotting out the whole Kennedy family. And he's there getting the endorsement of this Kennedy and that Kennedy and another Kennedy that you don't know anything about. And then Joe Biden gives the line of lines.
Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? Because that's America.
Yes. I'm sorry. I may have missed that, Mr. President. Could you say that again?
Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? Because that's America.
Yes. Am I ready to choose?
Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? Because that's America.
Yes. Am I ready to choose freedom over democracy? I don't. I don't even know what that means. What? But this is Joe Biden. This is every day with Joe Biden. People are voting for this? Never mind the politics. You're voting for this? Well, Tony, abortion's the most important thing ever. You're voting for this? Oh, well. You probably think that Ted Kennedy was a great guy. Jeepers. Throughout the day, more will come out about this Israeli strike on Iran. U.S. officials saying that we were not surprised by the attack, which is strange, because just yesterday was the discussion that a deal was struck that, hey, you can take Rafah there in the Gaza Strip as long as you don't respond to Iran's attack on Israel, 350 missiles and drones. Now, it's funny, on Tony Katz today, we said yesterday, by the way, I'm Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Got producer Carl behind the board, Matt Baer in the WIBC Traffic Center, Ryan Hedrick and Kurt Darling in the WIBC Newsroom. I said that Israel's probably going to be like, sure, yeah, we'll take that deal. I mean, we're going to take Rafah anyway. We're going to end Hamas once and for all, and we'll get to Iran when we want to. What's the U.S. going to do? Well, isn't that what everybody says about Biden now? And isn't this what has some people angry? What is the U.S. going to do? Israel's going to defend itself, and Iran's going to keep trying to destroy Israel. Someone has to win and someone has to lose. That's all there is. And certainly we've seen on the campuses of Columbia and other places that they've made their choice. I mean, they're now outwardly chanting, "We are Hamas, we support Hamas." And this isn't isolated. This is the thought process. You've got members of the Indianapolis City County Council who want to tell you that Israel is guilty of genocide. They've made their choice. And now it's up to us to ask, what choice do we make? Because as we have been saying from the beginning, and now you're hearing a lot of people discuss this, you think those protests that you saw there in Colombia, where Ilhan Omar's own daughter got arrested, she goes to Barnard. She's there at Columbia protesting against evil Israel. But it's not about Israel. She wants to burn down the system. It's the country she hates. All of these people, if Israel was out of the way, they would turn their attention to America. That's the goal. That's the target. That is the entirety of the target. I'm going to have some more on this to get to in the next hour. But I must, once again, and I've said this before, Ilhan Omar should be the great American story. Somali refugee gets to America, becomes a member of Congress, has a family, daughter, goes to Columbia, goes to Barnard, I should say. That should be the American dream. It should be a story we put up on a high. And what does Ilhan Omar do? Hates Jews, clearly wants to see the country burn, and has a daughter who, in her own bio on social media, has a hammer and sickle. You want to talk about perversion? The country that took you in said, here's your opportunities, and look what they've done with their opportunities. And they hate the place? We can agree that that's crazy. That's crazy. And if you ever wanted proof that the objective is not Israel, but is this way of life, this us, this ability to engage, this pluralism, this concept of liberty, look no further than Ilhan Omar and her daughter. Not because I'm a bigot. Oh, shut it with that. Look at what they say and look at what they do. Look at the squad and what they say and what they do. Look at these campuses and what they say and what they do. And then, let's remember there's more of us than there are of them, please. And pushing back, well, that is the correct thing to do. Tony Katz, no.
We got it together, didn't we? We've definitely got our thing together, don't we, baby? Isn't it nice? I mean, really, when you really sit and think about it, isn't it really, really nice?
Is it smart or is it sexist? It's a new game. You might be able to apply it to anything. I'll let you decide. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. It was a story over at Business Insider, and I don't look to Business Insider for much of anything. Here's the headline. I'm a single mom. I date, but I don't date single dads. Oh. Oh. Okay. Is it smart? Or is it sexist? So she tells the story that she judges single dads, and that there's just no way that this is good marriage material. And how could somebody be a good father and also be in a relationship? So my question is it smart or is it sexist? This goes along the lines of, you know, do you marry for love or money? It is true. And there are plenty of people doing videos out there and conversations about, you know, knowing your worth and how you hold yourself and what men are really looking for and all these kinds of things. But I thought this was... I thought this was interesting that she's out there saying, I just won't do this. I don't know. I'm not a divorced guy. I've never gone through this. I've also never done online dating. My wife and I have been together for 30 years. I don't, which I think does freak some people out because they're like, that's not possible. Tony, we've met you and we've heard you. There's just no way. I don't think you understand what a catch I am. Right now we have Matt Baer to explain to you what a catch I am. Go ahead, Matt. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate that. But is this a thing? That if somebody's a single dad, they're damaged and they can't be good for a relationship, so no thank you, step away. If a man said this about a woman, I don't date women who have kids, they'd be vilified, destroyed, wrecked, ruined. How much would I bet that that women read this and said, oh, she's right. She's right. You know, you can't have, you need yourself a man who is clean and no strings, just clean, no luggage, no baggage, no nothing, not even a briefcase, nothing. And he better be rich too. I am curious how people do these things. What levels of judgments do they have and what levels of practicality are they engaged in? It goes back to this idea of love or money. I married for love. My wife married for love, clearly, because it was a very rough first 20 years. You know, I'm laughing. I'm laughing because crying is inappropriate on radio. There's no crying in radio. It's like baseball. But a lot of people look at it and view it and engage it in this business kind of application. Is that what you're doing after you become a single mom? You get divorced, something happens? And is it not a good calculation to date a guy who also has kids? Well, because your priorities are split. But that's just it. For you, it's okay to have split priorities, not him. That's why I asked the question, smart or sexist. I've got the story over there at TonyKatz.com. And if you are a part of what we're doing over there, you get the daily show sheet. You know what's up. But I think there's something bigger here about how people view relationships in their future. And I want to know if it also applies to how people viewed the getting into previous relationships and whether they went in with eyes wide open or they went in with some kind of expectations. It was much more important to have the big wedding than it was to focus on the marriage itself. I'm curious. Married too young, married too quick, married too stupid. But you tell me, ladies, you're a single mom. Do you date men who have kids? Or is that a sign and you stay away from that? And aren't you shrinking the pool of potential men? And now somebody's going to say to me, well, what about the women who date women? Look, one thing at a time, all right? I can only handle so much. I'm doing the best I can here.